lifting this up to you, Lord, is, Father, not something that I put together that you want to, I want your blessing on, but Lord, something that I believe that you inspired, Lord, for your people to be able to help us and encourage us to reach higher with our faith and to step out and to believe for more than we currently are, Lord. And our faith is not in ourselves, not in our works or the circumstances, but our faith is in you, Lord. And I pray that as we reach for you with our faith, Lord, that Father, just like your word says, it is such a blessing. It is by faith that we inherit the promises. So Father, faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So Father, I pray that you'll help us with that on both ends of that, that increasing our faith, but allowing us to look forward and to see into that spiritual realm, to see what you're working on and to believe for it by faith and be patient as it comes to fruition. Lord, we're trusting you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. So let's start. We're going to talk about, as I just mentioned, I guess in that prayer, about reaching higher. Okay, letting our faith reach higher. Letting it kind of take us to a new height in our walk with God, where we're, you know, it's kind of a, I don't know if that's the right word, an oxymoron. We're talking about reaching higher, but really it means going deeper with God. And is that oxymoron? Any English teachers? Anybody? We do have an English teacher. Okay, so what would it be? It's a smart idiot?
Or like something
that contradicts. Whew, I don't know if that... Well, yeah, it contradicts. I mean, we're reaching higher, but we're going deeper with God, right? So let's do that today. Let's go deeper with God. Let's press in and see what he's got for us. First thing I want to do is talk about, as we're talking about going higher, is to kind of talk about what it is that causes us to look for better things to come. Okay, what is that when we're, you know, we look for, yeah, hope, right? It's looking for something better than today. It's like our current situation is not quite there, and so we're anticipating tomorrow, okay? I don't want to jump ahead of myself. Let's start with Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. It literally says that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Okay, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Okay, and so what is it about hope? Well, first I want to look at the word deferred. Okay, the word deferred here, and it says hope that is deferred. Okay, deferred in the Hebrew means something that is drug or pulled away. Okay, or an object not providing any help, therefore needing considerable force to obtain. Okay, so if something is deferred, it's like it's going the wrong way, right? It's not coming towards us. It's not where we want it to be. It's literally something that is going to take a little bit of effort to be able to reach out and grab hold of. In this verse in particular, it refers to when what you're hoping for is fleeting, okay, or seemingly unattainable, okay, something that we want this in our life, but it just seems like it'll never be. It'll never come to pass. We'll never be able to obtain that, okay? Well, hope, the first part of this, hope is defined as, and many of you know, I've used this definition for years, is a confident expectation for good. Okay, that is hope. Does anybody hope for bad things to happen? Maybe to your cousin that hurts your feelers or something. But most of the time, we hope for good, right? We hope for the best. We hope for things to get better. Our hope is that tomorrow will be better than today, that tomorrow will, you know, bring good things. And that is hope. It's an expectation for something better, for something good. Okay, and when your hope is maintained or when it's grasped instead of being fleeting, okay, when hope is grasped, it means that when you think about your potential or future circumstances, that positive prospects come to mind. Okay, that means I have grabbed on to hope and I'm believing. That's that believing for better things. It means hope is not deferred for me. Hope is right here. I'm believing for better things for tomorrow. Another proverb here, Proverb 29:18, says that where there is no vision, the people perish. Okay, where there is no vision, the people perish. That word vision there is equated with the word revelation in the Hebrew. Okay, and it means to see something that can be grasped. Okay, so something that we can grab onto. So then the question really becomes, where are we looking? Okay, is our vision and our hope that we're trying to, you know, grab onto something with, is our vision and our hope and our expectation only in earthly things? Okay, is it in carnal and natural things? Or are we looking higher into the realm of the supernatural, where the supernatural God that we serve is? Okay, so faith and hope go together. We know that, right? But if we're putting faith and trusting and we have this hope, if I'm hoping for things down here, my faith is down here. Does that make sense? But if I'm hoping for things that only God can do, that my expectation comes from Him, that I know that God has good things in store for me, and I can put my faith then where my hope is, okay, then I'm going to be applying it in such a way that more and more good things are going to end up being in my life in a lot of different areas. You know, God is not limited by things like time. You know, how often do we think of things that, oh, you know, yeah, but that's going to be forever from now. You know, or, yeah, I'm getting this debt paid off, but it's going to take me 400 years. You know, I won't even be around by then. You know, what we tend to think along those lines, but God is not bound by time in that sense. Okay, or distance. You know, we have things that have happened in friendships, relationships, and families, and all these different areas of our life, workplaces and whatever, that there's a distance that when we pray, we're thinking that nothing's really happening because it's on the other side of town or the other side of the world or whatever. But the reality is God is not limited by distance. So to Him, to be there and intervening is not difficult. God is also not limited by human emotion. Okay, now the Bible talks about God angry and joy, and you know, there's some things that are very what we have, but He doesn't like get His feelers hurt and then lash out in vengeance. Okay, when vengeance comes unto God, He's got a good justified reason for it. It's not because of some emotional thing or something else that has come up. So God is not limited by things that we tend to be here on earth in our earthly walk. You know, if your view of your future is limited by what you can see, okay, what you can hear and what you can touch, you're going to get discouraged. Okay, if your future is based on this, it's going to be like, oh, it's not going to happen. You know, or if it does, it ain't going to be that great. You know, we tend to get, because we're looking at earthly things, to get discouraged. You'll find yourself without hope and eventually end up maybe even in despair. Okay, maybe even, you know, hating life, becoming bitter towards life. Okay, or bitter towards people or bitter towards a workplace or whatever it is. We get, you know, we get hurt by something, and so we get angry at that because our hope is in this situation, this person to change. My hope is that, you know, my boss will get a job across the planet somewhere, you know, and move away. My hope, you know, and if we're hoping in those kind of things, we're going to be let down. We're going to be discouraged. It's going to be hard. Okay. And what happens is that the natural realm, okay, this earthly realm that we're living in, okay, the natural realm is so consuming at times that we forget that the realm that we live in here on earth is seriously inferior to the realm of the spirit. Okay, now where God is, okay, that the realm of God and Holy Spirit and the angels and demonic forces, all these things that are in this unseen realm around us, okay, is far superior than to what we're seeing here on the earthly realm. Okay, they'll go together, I'll make that point, but there is a serious inferiority to our limitations and things that we have to deal with compared to the angelic realm or the spiritual realm. Look at something in Ephesians chapter 6. Many of you know the last part of this for sure, but let's look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. The Apostle Paul is reminding them where things take place here, you know, that there is this that goes on. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, that means that that person might be influenced by the spiritual realm, but trying to get them to change is not where it's going to really take place. Okay, it's in the spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual realm. When the spirit can move in somebody's heart, then things begin to happen. Okay, in order to step out in faith, okay, you have to remove your natural circumstances from your eyes and fasten your gaze onto Jesus. Okay, fix your eyes on Jesus. I think there's a song along that way. Okay, the enemy wants to distract you with things in the natural. Okay, but God is inviting you to come up higher. Okay, I don't know if I've taught on it. It's been a long time if I did, but there is like a higher road, a higher plane where God is. Okay, and God has called us to get up there and walk in that so we can see what's happening, so that we can travel further, faster, so that we can accomplish what He wants for us. And God, I know, is in you know, refuting all the devil's distractions by calling you to live in this higher place, okay, to come up higher where He is. People that cannot see beyond today, okay, that are, you know, they're having trouble seeing the future, having hope for the future, okay, it's because they're looking only at the natural circumstances. Okay, which at the moment may be quite dismal, and that's why they're feeling that way, but they'll end up being very critical. Okay, they'll be self-centered. Okay, maybe even not much fun to be around. Okay, have you ever met somebody that's grumpy all the time? Okay, they're just kind of a grumper bug, man. No matter what comes up, they're just kind of owly all the time. You don't really want to, you don't know if you should open the can of worms or not, right? Do I even want to say hi? They might chew me out or whatever. Okay, well, if you've ever met somebody that's grumpy all the time, you can be sure that their life is not where they want it to be. You ever thought of that? Somebody who's unhappy, it's because life is not where they want it to be. And they're not looking into the realm of God for their answers and solutions to get them where they want to be. They're looking at the natural world, saying, my life's not where I want to be, but I got to do this, this, and this, and this, and this needs to change, and they need to change, and this needs to stop, and then I'll be happy. Okay? And they're looking at the world to try to solve a spiritual problem or something that we need to go to the next realm to get something accomplished. Okay, if your relationships are a mess, okay, or if you're neck deep in bills and debt, okay, or you just feel like, you know, you're stuck in a dead-end job. You don't have much to look forward to. Okay, I want to encourage you to look higher by setting your sights higher. Okay, look higher by setting your sights into the kingdom realm, into the realm of God. Okay, and yes, He's here on earth. He's working actively in us and doing things. I'm talking about looking into the realm of your Savior. Okay, the one that was walked in the flesh and did it and paid the price and did all these things for us here on earth. But there's a realm that is grander than that. Okay, He came from the Father, right, to the earth, came from heaven. So there's another realm that He is from that He said, I'm returning, I'm going back unto my Father to prepare a place for you that where I go, you may come, right? I'm paraphrasing, don't quote me on that. But God is wanting us to get, Jesus is wanting us to get into that realm, that our faith is in that and not in circumstances and people and stuff here on earth. Okay, look at Psalm 121. Okay, the first couple verses of that psalm, the psalmist says this. He said, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? For my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Acknowledging that my Lord did what was impossible for me to do. Okay? How often do you look to the natural? Okay, how often do you look to the carnal and fleshly ways to solve your problems instead of lifting your eyes to the heavenly realm, okay, where your help truly comes from? Isaiah said this in Isaiah 55, 9. He said, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Okay, now some people would read that and they would acknowledge that, yeah, God's ways are higher than our ways. But they think that it's impossible for you to hear or to know the ways of God. Okay, but as a new covenant believer, we have the literal Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. Okay, and because of that, He is actively relaying exactly what God wants us to hear, to know, and to do. Okay, we have that. It's a supernatural advantage, right? It's not something that we did or made up. It's just something that the Holy Spirit is there to do. You know, the Apostle Paul quotes the Old Testament at one point in 1 Corinthians. He quotes the Old Testament and he says, "No man knows the things that God has prepared for them that love him." But he immediately inserts the New Testament truth that we can now and can do know the things of God through the Holy Spirit. Let's read that verse. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and through 12. He says, "But as it is written," okay, he's quoting old here, he's quoting the old covenant, "as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." In verse 10 he says, "But God has revealed them," past tense, "unto us by his," capital S, "Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save or except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God does. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God." Okay, that's that connection that we have with this supernatural realm of God is through the Holy Spirit that God gave us and said that He would give to us, and then He did. Okay, now, does anybody remember the story of the angel Gabriel, okay, and his conversation with Mary, right, the mother of Jesus, way back in the beginning, okay, pre-birth of Jesus, right? Okay, and the angel tells Mary that she is going to conceive in her womb and bring forth a son, and that she should call his name Jesus. Okay, he tells her that, and this is a quote, he said, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Okay, but I want you to look at Mary's initial response to when the angel says that to her. It's in Luke 1:34. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Okay, like, think of this. Like most of us, okay, if you're not accustomed to divine power manifesting in your life, okay, and all of a sudden an angel appears and starts talking to you, she looked at her life instantly in the natural realm, and says, and this is kind of paraphrasing a little bit, "Wait a minute. We all know that it takes a man and a woman to make a baby, right? And I ain't got no man yet." Okay? She might not have said ain't, okay? But she says, "I ain't got a man. How can this be?" So just like we would do, her mind went to the natural, say, wait a minute, that doesn't jive with what we know about birds and bees, right? It's not lining up. Something ain't happening here. Okay, and I think that is so typical for our human brain to do that. You know, somebody might come up to me and say, "You know, Pastor, boy, we're bursting at the seams. We really need a bigger building." And instantly, my mind will go to, "Yeah, but it takes a lot of money to build a new building." Okay, Or you might be, maybe you're working, you know, 2, 3, 4, 10 jobs or whatever, and you're trying to make ends meet, and somebody says, oh man, your car's kind of a junker. You should buy one of those Lincoln Navigators or those how about that Jeep Grand Cherokee, the new thing that came out? Those are only $130,000. Okay, and you start thinking in your, I didn't even pay that for my last house. Right? How would I ever come up with money for that? See, our mind goes to that, the natural, real stuff, right? That's real life, we think. Okay, our thoughts are going to lean towards the natural realm pretty easily. But it can and will, if we'll do it, be trained to look into the realm of God by faith. Okay, renew your mind with the Word of God. Okay, that's the one of the simplest ways, because then we think along the lines of this infinite and powerful God. Okay, we see the things that he did that, man, it doesn't make sense. This guy caught a fish and it had money in his mouth. I go fishing a lot. I've never caught one of those yet. Okay, in the natural, it doesn't seem possible. Or somebody turns water into wine. Somebody crosses a raging river and dry land. Okay, all these things that we read about, that is God setting us up to look beyond the natural. Okay, just because there's a river there doesn't mean you're not going to cross it on dry land. Just because you have a need doesn't mean God can't supernaturally provide for it. Okay, so we've got to look beyond that. Okay, look at the reaction of Mary and how it changed once she looked into the spiritual realm and she grabbed hold of the fact that nothing is impossible for God. See, Mary's story continues on. Let's read beyond, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Luke 1:35 through 38. The angel responds. He answers and says unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Okay, the angel tells Mary, verse 37, says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Okay, that's looking into a realm that is not of the, this can happen and that can happen. To know that God is the God of the impossible takes us into that realm where things can happen because God can make it happen. Okay, and we don't. But if you notice this, where he says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And just like that, Mary grabs on to the supernatural vision. Okay, instead of, how can this be? I don't even got a man yet. Instead of that, she's thinking, okay. So God sent you, and you're telling me that nothing is impossible to God. And this is how he's going to make that happen supernaturally. Then she's like, you know what? Let's do this. Be unto me according to your word. Okay, she grabbed it and said, by faith, I'm accepting the supernatural. By faith, I grab on to what is impossible with men, but is truly possible because God can do anything. Okay, that is Mary's faith reaching higher. Okay, that's her faith reaching into the realm of God. Okay, when the disciples, at one point, they asked Jesus why they couldn't do something. And he says, and I'm paraphrasing, simply because you don't believe God can do it. They were limiting God by their unbelief. Okay, in Matthew 17:20 says this, it says, Jesus says to them, it's because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you that if you have faith, a little tiny bit as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And at that point, because your faith is not in the mountain, your faith is not in you, your faith is in God, who you're speaking to remove the mountain, Because your faith is in God, he says, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know, again, a different place when the disciples were questioning Jesus about how seemingly impossible it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Remember the whole like a camel going through the eye of a needle? Okay, the Bible says this in Matthew 19:26. It says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Okay, Jesus made the point by pointing out that in the natural, okay, it is not possible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Okay, and likewise, it is not possible for somebody who's obsessed with money to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Okay, but he tags it with, but with God, all things are on the table. Okay, all things are possible. Okay, even the camel through the needle's eye is possible if God needs it to happen, right? Jesus made that point. Luke worded it like this in Luke 18:27. He says, and he, Jesus, said, the things which are impossible with men are still possible with God. Okay, they are possible with him. See, the things may be impossible for men and women who are restrained by the natural realm, but God is not limited by this world. Okay, and when our faith goes beyond this natural world, now we're applying that, and he says that with God, all things are possible. Okay, it's impossible to men, but with God, it's possible. So when our faith gets into that realm and we're saying, God, I'm trusting, believing, laying this out there for you, now it's possible for us to see that. See, that statement that with God, nothing is impossible sums up the essence of God's unlimited nature. Okay, you hear it sort of, if you read your Bible, you'll hear it sort of echoing throughout the Bible. Okay, it's a constant reminder that God is not subject to human limitations or natural laws. Okay, it doesn't, water into wine, piece of cake. Well, it's not a piece of cake, it's wine, right? But nothing was off the table. If God wanted it to happen, if God wanted to manifest his glory in whatever way, it was clearly on that table. Okay, what seems impossible to human eyes is completely possible to the Almighty God who created all things. Okay, this is a truth. Okay, and it's an invitation that I hope will challenge your limited worldview so that you can incorporate a higher, more divine perspective. Okay, that we look beyond the natural and begin to experience the supernatural of God. You know, it's not uncommon for us to face situations that seem unsolvable. You ever had one of those? You're in it, especially when you're in the midst of it. You're like, there ain't no way out of this. This is it. I'm probably done here. And you're in it thinking that this is unsolvable. It's beyond a solution. Okay, we have things that will come up that seem like they're in unsurmountable obstacle in our life, that it's just so big there is no way that I'm going to get over the top of this. Okay, you might have dreams, you might have goals, you might have things that you desire to see change that just seem unattainable. It's fleeting, it's always out of your reach. Okay, but let that statement, nothing is impossible with God, let that encourage you. Let it remind you to look beyond the natural circumstances, okay, and trust that God has the power to intervene in extraordinary ways, extraordinary, okay, beyond birds and bees stuff. God can do that. Okay, your faith begins often where your human knowledge runs out. Okay, when it gets to that point that can't happen, okay, that's when it can in God's eyes. Okay, that's when our faith will be engaged and we'll see things begin to happen. Okay, you've got to overcome that, the doubt, right? The skepticism. Okay, and start embracing trust in the God who works beyond the boundaries of your understanding. You might not have it all figured out. God says not to lean on your own understanding anyway, right? Proverbs 3:5-6. So we might not always know how, but we know who. Okay, we know who to put our faith in and who to trust in. Our own limitations should not dictate the vastness of God's action in our lives. I don't want it to. I want to go beyond me. God, take me deeper into the ocean, further and further away from the shore. Get me to that point where there's no return. Okay, get me into that so that it's so deep that I can't function on my own. I need you. Okay, God operates in the supernatural. Okay, He's breaking barriers, things that seem like a wall that can't be crossed. Okay, He is tearing down strongholds. Okay, He is healing sicknesses. He's transforming lives. He is restoring things that seem completely unrestorable. Okay, things that we have cast off as lost forever, God can and does return. Okay, from the creation of the heavens and the earth and the seas and the trees and the yous and the me's, okay, from that point, you read through of all creation and all the things written about in the Bible, and now in our own personal experiences, we can see and know that nothing is impossible for God. Okay, so start dreaming of what God can do in your life. Okay, allow your imagination to look into the realm of the Spirit and see things that are impossible for men as entirely possible for God. Okay, dream your daydreams. Okay, hope for your future. Cast your vision for your life. Okay, and begin to see what God can do in your life and in the lives of the people around you. Okay, here's a prayer for you. Pray for renewed faith. Okay, pray for a faith that is able to see beyond the impossibilities. Pray for a faith to trust God that He is at work behind the circumstances, behind the scenes. Okay, pray a prayer that says, God, I believe that You are working behind the scenes. I might not see it, but I know You're at work. Pray that kind of a prayer and say, God, I'm dependent on You. This is beyond my own ability to make this happen. I'm trusting in You. Okay, watch Him supernaturally fulfill His plans in your life. Okay, in ways that are fulfilling His plan, His purpose in your life. Okay, walk through life. Start with today. Simple. Believing that with God, all things are possible. Okay, and let that truth resonate. Okay, and let it inspire you to renew your expectation, to renew your hope, okay, to have hope again where you thought hope was never going to be. Okay, and to grab onto that. Get the revelation, the understanding of it. Okay, and have a renewed expectation for good things to come. Amen. Amen. God is good. Father, we are praising Your holy name. We worship the name of Jesus, Your Son, our Savior. Father, we worship You as our God, our King, our Master, our Lord. Father, we thank You and praise You, Your Holy Spirit, for all the work that You do and revealing the things of God to us that we may know how we ought to pray as we should or to pray and Father, to be able to engage with You in a prayer of faith. Father, that says that we believe, we trust, we yield ourselves to You, Your will, Your best plan for our life. Father, we thank You for the work that You've done. Father, I thank You right now for what You're doing in people's lives. I thank You that today is a breakthrough day, that today is a day where new things have begun, seeds have been planted, that we can go forth, Father, with a renewed encouragement, hoping in You and Your greatness. Father, we look into the spiritual realm and we see You as unstoppable. We see You as unlimited. We see You the God of the impossible and the God of the possible. Father, there is nothing that is too hard for You. Father, we trust You, we thank You, and we yield to You. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen. Be encouraged this week. God is on the move.